I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hey, Marissa.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going quite well. Still enjoying this Christmas holiday season. It's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
We can taste it in the cookies. We can smell it in the balsam fir. That there's this one spot in our building, I don't know if you noticed,
yes,
in between that entranceway where they're drying out those wreaths.
Yes.
It smells so good.
So good. I've noticed that too.
Yeah. So everybody needs to rush into the Macne building there and just inhale in between the two doors there as you enter the building, because it smells amazing.
Yep. Smells like Christmas.
I'd love to be able to get that into my office, but that's not good. Unless I put two wreaths in and turn the heat up to about 90. So how are things going at the Norcross house?
They're good. As most of you probably can tell by my voice, I'm a little under the weather.
You have a cold.
I do, which is so rare for me. That's normally your thing.
Yes. And you know what? I'm going to knock on my table here. Knock on wood, I have not had a cold since last spring.
I'll knock too. Hopefully I don't get one like this again. It's been, I think, 2.5 years since I really had a bad cold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like a bad one. I mean, I'm sure I've had.
Sure.
But this has seemed to stick around for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've gotten somewhere like at night, I feel like I'm starting to get something, but you know, you know, I eat my airborne gummies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that and getting enough rest.
Yep.
And washing my hands is what's working.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. We'll see. Yes. Now, probably next week I'm going to be coughing.
I hope not.
But so today we're going to talk about a something that I really think is a leadership issue that I believe a lot of leaders suffer from, that I've suffered from. And my post that went out this morning said, "Do you have a decision bias?" And let me give a little bit of an explanation for that one. So, every summer, my aunt and uncle and my cousins, long time ago, how's that? Boy, it can't be last summer because they're all married, and actually a couple of them passed away since then. But when I was younger, we can rewind this. When I was younger, my aunt and uncle and cousins would come. My parents had a camp on Otisco Lake. And the one thing that made me so crazy was we would sit around all morning talking about what we should do. And I'm like, let's just go do something. Nobody would make a decision. Drove me nuts.
I'm familiar with that. Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking summer's short. You know, mm-hmm. We don't have that many days. Let's
meet
at the crack of dawn. I wanted to be out with a fishing pole or in a boat or water skiing or doing something, but not sitting around wondering.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that pushed me to being a person that wanted to make decisions. And the problem is that when a leader rushes in to make decisions, a lot of bad things happen. And mm-hmm. So when I talk about a decision bias, is too many leaders believe that it's their job to make the decisions. And when they quickly make a decision, what happens to the team is the team stops thinking. So if you think about it, every time, let's say decisions need to be made, and I don't care how, you know, I've heard somewhere where leaders will make a decision as to what should be worn, you know, what is the acceptable dress code for a dinner, you know,
mm-hmm.
Wait, nobody's going to come dressed inappropriately, but you know, you don't need to give a checklist of what somebody could wear. You know, like I said, people aren't going to dress inappropriately.
Right.
Another one is, you know, making decisions as to what kind of Kleenex boxes should be put into the facilities, those type of things.
Oh, wow.
Leaders should not be making those decisions. And if we take our 80-20 rule, if somebody can do something 80% as well as you do, let them. Because you won't have time to do that 20% that really only you can do. So again, if they can do it 80% as well as you, let them. Does that mean the decisions will always be the same? No. So let me give you an example from my past history. I knew of a leader that was hired by his board specifically because he was a guy that made decisions. He challenged the status quo. He was not going to accept mediocrity, and he specifically was chosen because of his ability to rush in, assess a situation, and make a decision. And I know one situation where he saved the organization, you know, significant amounts of money because that he was looking at drawings for a building project and he saw something in the drawings that not even the architects caught.
Wow.
There was a, literally it would have been a pipe going across the hallway type of thing.
Oh man.
You know, so he was extremely capable guy. The problem was that over time, the very skill set that he had to be the choice for that position was his downfall because what he lost was his team.
Mm-hmm.
The board still liked him because he kept making decisions. But all of a sudden, probably 5 or 6 years into his tenure, did the board begin to realize that he had lost the staff. And it ended up being his undoing, and they ended up buying out a contract that was signed with him just to get him out of the way and bring somebody else in. So, you know, you kind of wonder, well, what does it mean to lose your staff? And as I was looking at this, I started thinking, well, if you're the person that makes all the decisions, your best people won't stay because they want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing worse than that is because at least they move on to another opportunity. Worse than that are those people that could be great contributors and they stay but check out. So you're paying them, but they're not thinking.
Yeah.
And I worry whenever I see leaders do this because typically they don't see it and they aren't willing to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my struggles is, so then what do you, how do you help this person? How do you help a person who clearly doesn't get where they are? And I was reminded of Marshall Goldsmith's book where he says, what got you here won't get you there. You know, and you got to realize that you are continually needing to reassess your leadership abilities and your toolkit to see where you are. And one of the things that Marshall Goldsmith always says is, well, before he takes on a coaching project with somebody, he goes in and he interviews everybody that interacts with the person. He will literally interview the spouse and even sometimes children.
Wow.
Of the leader he's working with.
That's interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So he's digging that deep to find out what really is it,
mm-hmm,
that this person may be struggling with or blind to.
Mm-hmm.
And the other neat thing about Marshall Goldsmith is that you don't pay him until he's done.
Wow.
So once, you know, he goes in, he assesses the situation, he determines with you what it is you want to work on. And if he doesn't, if he can't help you make that change, you don't pay him.
Wow.
But if you do make the change, sometimes that payment could be six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't take long. You know, he talks about in his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. If I'm not mistaken, there was one that was like a few weeks and the person got it.
Really?
You know, yeah, but in it, because this person clearly wanted to make the change. So then, you get to a point where I struggled with when I started doing executive coaching was, you got to be very selective as to who you pick to work with.
Of course, of course.
Because you only want to work, mm-hmm, with somebody that really wants to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So those 360s, those abilities for people to give anonymous feedback are critical for any leader. Because without it, you're blind.
Yeah.
And there was an old proverb that I remember hearing when I was young. You know, there is none so blind as he who will not see.
Mm-hmm.
Which is frightening. So I'm going to put you on the spot, as I always do. you know, because I know you've been around a lot of different organizations and things like that. For someone your age, you've got a wealth of experience. What types of behaviors have you seen in people that might be similar to having a decision bias?
Like micromanaging or trying to control all the situations. And it,
yes.
Almost in a way that it's like, well, why do you even need anyone else?
Right.
Because that's how it can come off to the rest of the team as well. You know, if you've already made up your mind, then why are we all here?
Right. Why are we wasting time?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you want us to do and we'll go do it.
Right. Which is so unfortunate because that's no way to to feel when you're working. There's really no way to run an organization because you're missing out on so many other good ideas. I mean, you talked about the, you know, the 80% rule. If someone can do something 80% as good as you can, then, you know, let them do it. But what if they can do it 120% as good as you can, but you don't know that?
Excuse me. Yeah, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. I know. So, and this is where I think it's critical for a leader to understand their gifted area and get out of the weeds for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a few things that I think I can do well. And that's why I'm hired, to do those things. And things that I can only do in a mediocre way, let somebody else do it, because it might be their strength point.
Right.
You know, I don't need to know what you and I talked about something before we started recording of you know, wanting to do some things with our podcasts, beginning with our next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know things can be done. I don't know how to do them. You and Tim can figure that out. You don't need me to muddy the water, so to speak, if there's people that know how to do it. So, yeah, micromanaging is another one. Anything else jump to your mind before I give a couple more ideas?
I mean, well, I think just to piggyback on that, you know, we as organizations in general spend a lot of money on hiring and hiring the right people. So I just, you know, trust the people that you've hired and make the right hiring choices, because when you're doing that, then they should be able to contribute in those ways without, you know, just doing what they're told necessarily.
Yeah. Take a little bit longer in your hiring process, hire the best, and let them do what you've hired them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I shared this on a podcast. I might have, but I remember when, just after when I was at SelfLock, just after we had moved into the building on Brighton Ave, it was around Christmas time, and my son Jeremy, who had helped me do some addition work here at our house about 10 years ago, so this would have been so it would have been a couple years after our addition. So Jeremy, you know, let's just say his hammer, you know, and saw were still warm, so to speak. and he had some time. He was in college, and he had Christmas break off, and so we were building a QA lab into the part of the building. And my dad wanted to know what we were doing. For some reason, I think he might have been home. Anyway, so because they're usually in Florida at Christmas. But so I remember bringing him through, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "We're building a QA lab." And he said, "Why are you doing it?" I said, "Because I know how." And he said, "Isn't there something better that you can do than be building a QA lab?" You know, and it was like, oh, not again. Because I remembered as a younger
manager. Dad is right
manager,
again.
Yeah, always. He's always right. I remember as a younger manager, when I would be doing something, he would say, "Son, you know, you do what you do best, and you hire people to do what they do best."
Mm-hmm.
And don't get the two confused.
Right.
Now, we did get the QA lab built. Did we do it as well as a contractor? No. Did it cost us as much as a contractor? No. But I also don't know, what did I miss in terms of opportunities that could have moved the business forward because I was pretending to be a carpenter for a week? So, yeah, that to me was a lesson that I never thought of in this light, but it really fits into this thing of having a decision bias, thinking that the leader needs to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
The two other things that I felt fit into this, I'm pulling out of Liz Wiseman's Multipliers book, and the idea guy, you know, that person, that leader that rushes into the office, has all these ideas. They're sharing ideas like rapid fire with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff really doesn't know, are they just thinking out loud or are they giving us direction?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea person, the idea leader, is just thinking out loud. They leave the room. The team starts to implement. The problem is the next day there's another idea.
Mm-hmm.
So as leaders, we really have to be careful that our team knows what it is we're doing and that we are not coming in and just barking out orders. Because what happens is after it's exhausting for the team if they think you're shifting gears. You know, we've got the idea du jour. And so we better figure out how to do it because, all right, well, tomorrow, you know, what book did she read last night that now we have to implement?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a problem that I had frequently. Another one is, this was something I really struggled with as well, is the rapid responder. You know, I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, a day when I was supposedly on vacation. I had a bad cold too, surprisingly. I had just driven out to a camp on Otisco Lake where my family was staying. I no sooner got into the camp, I looked at my phone and I saw an email that about a quality issue at work, and I literally got back in my car and went back to the office.
Mm.
And I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need me. I just thought they did.
Yeah.
You know, so the problem is that rapid responder is the same type of thing as the leader with the decision bias. The team won't make decisions because they're waiting for the leader to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for the leader to respond. And it's just, you know, I know this isn't much of a Christmassy kind of topic, but there were just enough things, you know, in my conversations with different organizations that said, we need to just have a quick teaching on, please, don't fall prey to the decision bias.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a leader, and all of us are leaders, we just don't all have staffs. Anybody that influences somebody is a leader, but make sure the people that are around you are giving you the feedback that you need to get.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just assume they're going to tell you.
I mean, what are some other ways other than a 360 to solicit that? You know, how could you make people feel comfortable enough to share with you?
Well, I think one of the things would be to just periodically have sit downs with people.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, especially your closest confidant, so to speak, within your organization, how am I doing? You know, one of the things that I do whenever I've had a direct report is, you know, what am I doing that's making your job difficult?
Mm-hmm.
I would just ask them that.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have their employee development meeting, and once everything was done and all the documents are signed, so to speak, I would say, and still do, okay, what am I doing that might be making things harder for you? What annoying behavior do I have that makes it uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a simple, simple one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good within organizations if there's a relationship with people where somebody can say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, and so those are the type of things, but it's just asking for feedback and then letting people know that you value it.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say I've asked you for feedback and you've given me feedback and I'm working on it. Periodically, I need to go back to you and say, hey, Marissa, how am I doing?
Right.
You know, am I still on track? Please make sure you let me know if I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key part.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, it can get forgotten.
Right. And, you know, the worst thing is when organizations are going well, we fall into the success trap, which can be a killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just had a coaching session this morning where I asked a leader, I said, you know, they talked about they had such a great year. And I said, do you know why? And they look kind of puzzled. I said, if you don't know why, you can't repeat it.
Right, exactly.
So I guess that would be a tidbit that could be used at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a great year, you better figure out why,
mm-hmm.
or there's no guarantee you're going to repeat it next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe another, just something to sum that up, is there's this topic up. There's a huge difference between leading and directing.
Yes.
You need to lead, not direct. Now, that doesn't mean that the mm-hmm. team makes all the decisions. The team makes decisions based on guidelines that you've laid out as part of the strategic vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've planted seeds that take them in the direction you'd like them to go, but you lead them there. You don't tell them
mm-hmm.
what it is. How's that?
That's good.
That was quick. I feel like I did way too much talking, but my apologies.
Well, it's something you're a lot more familiar with than I am.
I've lived it. I've been that awful leader with a decision bias. If mm-hmm. I could have like a panel discussion here of all the people that have reported to me in the last 30 years, Wow, we would need a day. This would be a one-day seminar on the stupid things Dave did.
Well, you've learned.
I've learned, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. So, you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Of course. Hopefully something a little more peppy.
Yes. So, next week, we start a series of sessions on growth.
Perfect for the new year.
Absolutely. The goal is to get we want all of our listeners to hit the ground running mm-hmm. and be super excited about it.
Great.
All right.
Yes.
So I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. And you too. And to all of your family and our listeners.
Thank you. And to yours as well. It's less than a week away. Mm-hmm. Woo. And then we're going to have to deal with the letdown.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's 364 shopping days till Christmas. So, not quite. But the days are getting longer. That's a good thing.
Yes, so. Finally.
And so with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.